have been working all their lives, let me ask you this question for, if you can still remember, the first time you started working, what was the minimum wage that you received? Can you remember? You remember in the Philippines when the minimum wage was 200 pesos? When was that? What year? Late 90s. Before 2000. Late 1990s. Right? Sometime in the late 1990s, when minimum wage was still more or less 200 pesos per day, 8 hours in the Philippines, there was his father, that is his family, and with a very serious voice he asked, who used the toilet and forget to clean? Sinong gumamit ng washroom na hindi naglinis? Everyone was silent. Nobody wanted to admit. He sensed that nobody would like to say that they use the washroom, use the toilet without cleaning. He said, here's 200 pesos for the person who used the toilet. What? Use the toilet, did not clean, you would receive 200 pesos? You are the one who forgot to clean the toilet after use. You easily admit it. Even if the person would say, I will give 200 pesos of minimum wage, or minimum wage in Manitoba. About $100. Just imagine, somebody would say, I'll give $100 to the person who used the washroom and didn't forget to clean. Yet, the favorite son of this father raises up me, not expectation, because he was looking at the 200 pesos. To the surprise of everyone, the father gave the 200 pesos, as he promised. Can you believe that? Not everyone could readily admit their mistake because they expect rebuke, admonition for their mistake. But that situation may have encouraged his family to admit mistake, not scared of harsh rebuke or disciplinary action for if they commit mistake. What do you think could happen if you admit your mistake? Does it benefit you? And most, if not all of us believers, we can readily admit and that we normally sin against God. Can you admit that? We normally commit sin. Most often, when we sin, we ignore God's instruction. When we sin, remember, as believers, when we sin, it doesn't mean God would say, you are not my child anymore. He would not say that. He waits for us to ask for forgiveness. It has also been assumed that God would not grant our prayer request if we are appalled to need to ask for forgiveness and for God to answer your prayer. That idea. But if we ask for wisdom, if we ask God for wisdom, He gives wisdom generously without finding fault. It does not depend on our obedience or disobedience. The Lord will grant it unconditionally, no condition attached. We earnestly ask Him for godly wisdom. guidance of wisdom to us believers so that we should ask God for wisdom. Well, previously we learned that if our faith is tested, it produces what? What's our lesson last Sunday? Perseverance. If our faith is tested, and it proves that we have faith, eventually it produces perseverance. So testing is not just one time, because perseverance cannot grow overnight, over time. It grows as our faith is tested. And perseverance practically proves that we have grown mature spiritually. Yet, not all believers can accept testing of faith. When we complain when our faith is tested, when we face struggles, when we face problems, when we face challenges, concerns of life, and we sense that we're still complaining, meaning perseverance is still not matured as it should be. It could be starting yet, grow mature. It says in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, this was our passage last Sunday. Let's read again. Consider it your joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That term may be mature is hoping, but not very sure yet, because many just cannot grow mature overnight. Many believers persevere because they confidently trust God, that God would have prepared great things for them. That perseverance will tell you when there's struggle, when you face struggle, when you face trials, problems in life. Perseverance will tell you there's something great beyond this struggle. It's like when you shovel, there is snow. Yeah, I can drive smoothly, something like that. But if you complain, snow again. And complain, you will not see that your back is getting stronger, your muscles getting bigger. It should be, it would help you look well. Magandang tingnan. But still there are believers who hesitate but doubt that God has situated them exactly where He wants them to experience much of His grace. This morning, when we were shoveling snow, I told my wife, this is much better than our experience before we came to Canada. The week before we came to Canada, our apartment was flooded. Not just kind of flood, it's stinky flood, because the septic tank came out. Can you imagine? Yet the snow so fine. I praise God for that. So when every time I shovel snow, the Lord would allow me to remember our experience before coming here. This snow is far much better than cleaning flooded flooring. Apartment, it was flooded until knee high. So if you use the washroom in the first floor, you cannot, because there's blood in the toilet bowl. How can you imagine that? That was what happened when you say he came. So think of something worse happening where you came from. It might inspire you to appreciate when every time snowfall in this city. Well, James encourages us to ask wisdom, because many of us cannot appreciate the situation. Why do we need wisdom? So that we may realize and experience more of God's grace of God. Let's read again verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God to give generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given. It says, generously give to all. What is all? Does it include non-believers or believers only? Wow, can you believe it? God generously gives us wisdom only if we ask Him. That's God's grace, right? God's grace, no condition attached. It's God's grace. Most often, we are very rebellious for the Lord. And we should expect admonition. We should expect rebuke. But godly wisdom is free gift from our gracious God. He does not exclusively give only to those who are worthy. Well, I will give wisdom to these people because they are the ones who are very early, who are attending Sunday school, who are giving their tithe. And you, because you don't even go to church, you don't even believe in the Lord, I won't give you. He did not say that. Everyone can ask the Lord for wisdom, and He would receive it. Yet James wrote this advisory particularly to believers. The letter of James was written to believers, especially Jewish Christians with Jewish background. Why? Why was that? Why was this letter of James written to the believers and not to non-believers? Well, people who have no faith in God cannot readily understand it. They would readily ignore godly advisory. This is why, even if we insist on telling them, sharing them the gospel, and they would easily ignore us, it is because they have no faith in God. And it also needs godly wisdom to understand that obedience to God will benefit the obedient. Meaning, with wisdom from God, we can obey Him according to His standard of obedience. Not the way we want to obey Him. Yeah, this is the way I want to worship God. This is the way I want to obey the Lord. It's not you. This is my worship to God. Your standard is not biblical standard. It's not acceptable to God. The Bible was given for us to know the standard of God, the way He wants us to please Him. No matter how we do it, our human effort to impress the Lord will always fall short of His glorious standard without wisdom. Many times I warn my children, if you are planning to buy something for me, don't expect that I would easily appreciate it. If I can buy that something you give me, Maybe I say thank you, but not necessarily appreciate the way you want it to be appreciated. If you want to give me something, do not make surprises. Ask me what I need, and I will tell you what I want you to buy for me. That thing I won't appreciate. My daughter in the U.S. said, always bring something to surprise me. What do you really want me to buy for you, Dad? If you really want to please me, buy me a boat so that I can go fishing, my friend. That is something that I would appreciate. But if you buy me a t-shirt, well, I say thank you. I can buy a t-shirt. I have a lot of t-shirts, but it's not what I appreciate, something like that. See? My standard of gift is so high that they cannot just easily buy me. When I think about that, I think about why the Lord gave us the Bible. We need godly wisdom to live productive lifestyle that is pleasant to the Lord. The Lord does not necessarily ask us to give him a boat, a truck, or something that big. That's not what he asked us. That is only for me. The reason we have the Bible is for us to know how we may obey the Lord, that he may appreciate our obedience. Amen, our obedience. So God gives generously when we ask for godly wisdom, for us to know and grasp and comprehend and understand that when we obey him, the more he would be gracious to us. Well, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? What wisdom would God generously give to believers who ask him? Wisdom is the use of knowledge of diverse matters. Wisdom is a skillful ability. If you can give me that slide, just slide there. To manage the task, administer a project skillfully. In the context of particular case, when knowledge is applied productively, successfully, wisdom has developed. Now, if you are a driver, how do you know that you have wisdom in driving? You follow the rules of the road. You follow the manual of your car. You do it not just to maintain your car, but to keep you safe, to go wherever you want to go, and keep others safe. That is wisdom. But if you say, I know how to drive, and you drive the way you want to drive, without following traffic rules, then that is not wisdom that we are talking about. Maybe you know how to drive, but you don't have wisdom just yet. Wisdom practically exhibits not just, imbag lang ha. Okay, lupan. Ano ba yun sa Tagalog? Oh, pwede na yan. That's not wisdom. Wisdom exhibits progress and development in the task we perform. When you perform tasks, we want to do it. When it's good, we want to do it again. And we want to improve. And I remember my father when he said one thing, one lesson that I learned from my father when I made a set of jails, wooden jails. Said, no, you did good, but next time do it better. And I feel like, did he not appreciate what I did? What he was saying, keep on improving, keep on improving. I learned that only a few years later. But when I keep on improving, more customers will buy my product. Wisdom practically exhibits when there's progression, when there's development. So, advantageous improvement of endeavor, this practically proves wisdom. Wisdom does not tolerate you to be contented with mediocre performance. Okay na yan. Okay na yan. Pwede na yan. Pwede na yan. Hindi na yan mapapansin. If you are thinking of that, it's your work. You haven't had wisdom yet. With godly wisdom, we want to do not only the right and proper thing, but to improve it if it is still possible to improve or develop. If there's improvement, development, that's wisdom. Have you observed that they keep on improving, they keep on improving, and you do not want to buy cars that were made in the past year. You want the newer car because you know newer car can offer you better driving experiences. That is a very practical example on how you want your performance to be appreciated at work. Personally, what do you wish to accomplish in life? What is it that you want to attain? Whether it's spiritual or matters essential to lifestyle, the Lord would bless if you ask Him for wisdom. You have godly wisdom, the Lord, you will see how the Lord will bless your work. Godly wisdom is essential and beneficial to the development and progress of productive life. Let me repeat that. Godly wisdom is essential, beneficial to the development and progress of productive life. King David, many people would love to name their children David because of the testimony of King David. He had a very good testimony. He had gained godly wisdom when he resolved to trust the Lord in all his adventures. If you want to be win every battle that you face, right? Learn from King David. His reverent fear of the Lord caused him to make sure that his lifestyle was guided by godly principles. God's commands and decrees are godly principles for successful and productive lifestyle for us believers who prioritize the Lord in our life. So reverent fear. This reverence here, we value, we respect the Lord, is practically manifested. You know that you respect the Lord. You know that you have fear of the Lord. You want to obey the Lord. Just check your mindset, your lifestyle, your priority, and you will know. And as we grow mature spiritually, you find more beneficial to trust and obey the Lord. The more we trust Him, the more we obey Him, the more benefit, the more blessing we have. We trust that His instructions are crucial principles to be successful in the career path that we follow. And all the more we firmly desire to prioritize and live a lifestyle pleasant to Him. So keep on asking the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom. Increase my faith, give me wisdom. Don't stop if you can do it every day of your life, because nobody can have much wisdom enough. for one day, for all their life. You may have heard this true story about giving gifts during Christmas party. Did you have that Christmas party last Christmas in your company? Here's a unique story. Just check if this story is true or not. It's yours to determine. At the company Christmas party, one employee put a lottery ticket in that gift bag, give it to the recipient. The recipient approached him and returned the lottery ticket to the giver. The surprise giver said, "Hey, it's yours. I gave it intentionally. You might win the lottery." The recipient who returned the lottery is a devout Christian. He said politely, "So, I don't play lottery. You can have it back. My God has already blessed me with it." I don't know if that's the exact phrase, but it's something like that. "God would love it for sure." Wow, that's great. Wonderful testimony of genuine believers at workplace. Many pastors would love to have church members who would confidently trust God with their finances. Would you agree that when that believer returned the lottery, that decision testified that she truly had active faith and reverent fear of God? Listen, you desire favorable advancement or progress in your career, pray for wisdom so that you will have similar wonderful testimony that exhibits your faith in the Lord. Well, it's no secret anymore that some individuals have become instant millionaires after they won lotteries. And sadly, many lottery winners have lost their millions of money over time. Some have suffered worse life than before they won. Why? They have no financial wisdom. They spend their money recklessly, not smartly, not discreetly. Have you asked God why God allows others to be millionaires while others are not? Bakit sila mayaman? Bakit ito hindi? Wealth is useful, but life in its fullness is not limited to financial abundance. You believe that? You believe that if you pray for wisdom, godly wisdom, your life would improve? If you think your life is just ordinary, but you want to improve, pray for wisdom. Let's read this. It has been narrated in Daniel chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. Daniel chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. "In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than any magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus." Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel and his friend, they were exiled in Babylon at teenage years. Some scholars estimate somewhere between 16 to 20 years old. And without any clue what may happen to them, they resolved in their heart not to defile their bodies. They resolved
God even commended their weakness. He favored them. The Lord gave them godly wisdom so that Daniel and his friends were successful and prospered in a foreign land. Additionally, Daniel, from his teenage years to over 67 years, more than 67 years, he was very powerful official under four kings: Nebuchadnezzar, his son Belshazzar, and then Darius, and then Cyrus. So if you think about that, if he was 16 years old, plus 67, that's 83. If he was 20 years old, plus 67, that is 87. Until he was 87 years old, he was a still powerful official. You may or may not become powerful official like Daniel, but if you ask the Lord for wisdom, you can expect that God blesses you more productive than average. Keep asking the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. I may not know. So you've got to believe that you would receive it when you ask God for wisdom. Let's read again verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. What certainty do we have that God will generously give wisdom when we ask Him? Paano natin masisigurado? Listen, when James said that God gives generously, gives wisdom generously to all without finding fault, he implied that godly wisdom is free gift to be given to all who ask the Lord for it. It's free gift. So that just as faith is free gift from God, godly wisdom is also free gift from God. We only need to ask God, Lord, give me wisdom. I don't understand. Give me wisdom. God does not randomly throw wisdom. Here's wisdom. Cops. Here's wisdom. Go and pick up. He does not do that. Doesn't waste wisdom, because godly wisdom comes from Him, and He doesn't waste that. Asking God for godly wisdom practically exhibits faith in Him. So when we ask for wisdom, we've got to ask God for increase of faith also, so that we won't doubt about the generosity of God. We won't doubt that He had already given us. We've got to make sure that our faith in God is not easily blown and tossed by winds of changes and chances. Godly faith, godly wisdom, they are inseparable. Godly wisdom helps us be firm in making decisions. Faith helps us to be not hesitant. No hesitancy in our obedience to Him. That faith. We are still hesitant. There's doubt. Meaning, faith is there's shaking. Faith. By faith, we believe that God has designed the best lifestyle for us personally. Can you think that? Can you accept that? We sing a song a while back. God has a plan for me, of this I'm sure, That's faith, expression of faith. Godly wisdom says we confidently follow the right path that the Lord prepared for us. This is the path God wants you. You have faith in the Lord. You want to follow, because even though if there are obstacles ahead, you can see beyond the bright future you have that the Lord prepared for you. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious God, may give you spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Again, the phrase you may know. It's not very sure yet, because not everybody can be very sure of knowing the Lord better. But with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, how we depend upon the spirit of wisdom, rely upon the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that's how we may come to know him better. The Lord has prepared wonderful life we can experience. Can you say amen to that? Can you believe that? But it's hard reality that not everyone can comprehend it, because it's not easy to believe. Nevertheless, spirit of wisdom and revelation can help us know this wonderful plan for our betterment, so that we may follow him. We may follow his plan. Can you accept that the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ is the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Yes, in that. The Lord reveals great things and empowers us firmly to firmly decide. But with godly wisdom, we confidently obey the Lord. Be blessed. We have that confidence that the Lord would bless us when we obey. Here's another practical proof to know that we have active faith in Christ, and how we may know and realize the Holy Spirit of Christ reign in our hearts. How do we know that the Holy Spirit of Christ reign in our hearts, that we have active faith in Christ? Can you accept that pleasant things to God, the things that would please him, would benefit us? Can you accept that? If you can easily accept that without hesitation, it's the Spirit of Christ who enables you by faith. The Lord instructed the people of Israel in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3 to 5, let's read there, follow my decrees, and are careful to obey my command, I will send you rain in this season, and ground will fill its crops, and to the trees the fruit, the threshing will continue until great harvest, and the great harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. And it says you live in safety in your land, there's peace. And you see, you will continue. You will continue until great harvest. It says it's abundant. The farming and agriculture, these are livelihood, source of income. So what principle can we learn from this? Blessing of livelihood is a result of obedience to the Lord. If you follow the Lord's decree, and he will bless the way he will bless what you are doing, your livelihood. By faith we believe that obedience to God, the godly principles, would benefit us when we obey him. Benefit obedient believers. And with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, we can skillfully apply godly principles to particular tasks, our undertakings, our projects, our career, livelihood, that we venture into. Our question is, have you received the Spirit of Christ in your life? Do you have the Spirit of God in your life? Can you confidently say, the Holy Spirit is living in me? When the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, prevails in our life, even difficult situations are instrumental to the accomplishment the wonderful plan of the Lord in our life. Can you believe that without any doubt? Can you believe that when your boss is so harsh to you, that is also instrument to mold you to somebody that God has planned for you? Can you believe that? Listen, you may have heard about the story of Joseph, son of Jacob. Joseph was sold a slave in Egypt. He was imprisoned for false accusations. See, slavery and imprisonment, they are considered as a very horrible life experience. Imagine yourself in that situation. But many years of horrible experience, Joseph was appointed prime minister of Egypt. Did you know that the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, saw in him the work of the Spirit of God? It narrates in Genesis chapter 40, verse 38 to 48. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can you find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with great respect to the throne will I be greater than you." Someone had advised that if you read through the book of Genesis more than 20 times, your faith in God will certainly grow stronger. Somebody tried it. She read the book of Genesis more than 20 times. And she proved that her faith in God grows stronger. Try it. Try it. If you are praying for increase of faith, help yourself. Read Genesis at least 20 times or more. And discover godly principles. By faith we desire reading God's word. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation helps us discover godly principles that would benefit us to confidently trust and obey the Lord. It declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, "But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God." Let me repeat that. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Repeat. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Lord sent His Holy Spirit into our hearts, and we also receive wisdom of God. Can you believe that? Now, if you cannot, ask the Lord, "Lord, increase my faith to believe that I also have received your power, your wisdom, Jesus Christ." What happened if we ignored the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord? We also ignore the Spirit of wisdom. Because this is the Spirit of wisdom. We ignore the Lord, we ignore wisdom. And we just slow down in our spiritual growth. Then doubt manipulates us. There is doubt, there is hesitation, so that we don't expect anything. We don't expect to receive anything from the Lord when we pray. Let's read again verse 7 and 8. The person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. That person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. When we doubt, we do not expect. So when you doubt, pray that God would increase you, increase faith. So to help us understand more about the Lord, what the Lord may tell us, let's pause for a little while and earnestly ask God to give us wisdom. You may pray silently something like this: "Lord, I don't understand everything, but please give me godly wisdom. I need to decide firmly and resiliently and confidently follow the path that you prepared for my betterment. Just try something like that. Ask the Lord give you wisdom and increase your faith. Even now. When James advised that when asking godly wisdom, when asking God for wisdom, we must believe and not doubt, yet oftentimes after praying, we still sense some doubt, hesitation in our mind, right? We still doubt. Did I hear you? Doubt reveals, this doubt reveals that we have not received the answer of God. So if you have not received the answers to your prayers just yet, pray, Lord, increase my faith. So when doubt lingers in our mind, pray for increase of faith. Pray for empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Keep praying continually until you sense that joy, until you sense that peace of assurance. Joy and peace are assurance from the Lord that He already answered your prayers. And you also firmly desire, you have that desire to follow the path that the Lord had prepared for you with resiliency, with confidence, no matter what obstacle may arise along your way. Well, did you know that even great leaders in the Bible have their share of doubt? Moses was considered the greatest leader of Israel, but when the Lord told him, Moses, go and lead my people Israel out of the Egyptian slavery, what did Moses say? He hesitated, he doubted his ability to lead and communicate. How could I lead? How could I communicate? I'm slow. Let's read Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 to 13. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been ill at all, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes them deaf, deaf and mute? Who gives them sight and makes them blind? He said, not I, the Lord. Now go, I will help you. And will teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else. Many times we do that, right? That makes Moses. But continue to pray for increase of faith. Moses had his share of hesitation, he had deficiency, he had imperfection. Those were the his reasons. And we have also still our reasons. Imperfection, deficiency. When we obey the Lord, but when Moses obeyed the Lord, Moses became the greatest leader of Israel the whole time. When the Lord accomplished, think about it, will the Lord accomplish similar greatness in your life if you obey Him faithfully? Of course, He will. To start obeying the Lord, and you will discover that He is faithful. Now, if you have hesitancy of obeying, pray for increase of faith. The Lord may have called you to be a ministry leader, a missionary, a pastor. Pray and tell God all things that cause you to be hesitant and doubt your limitation, your deficiency. Tell Him, but pray for increase of faith. Pray for godly wisdom. Pray for empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Pray for godly wisdom, empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Pray for 1 year. It is from now until next year. Pray for 1 year, fully, regularly. Pray for increase of faith, wisdom from God, empowerment of the Holy Spirit of Christ, and observe what may happen. Every time you remember this sermon, pray for increase of faith. Pray for wisdom. Pray for empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You would certainly realize your dream for the best lifetime you wish to have when you follow the path the Lord had prepared specifically for your betterment. Well, it admonishes us, let me close this.
this sermon with this passage from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 9. Let's read together. Let's stand up as we read this together. Let's read meditatively. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned and received and heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, the God of peace will be with you. So when you have something in mind, think. Is this pure? Is this lovely? Is this praiseworthy? Is this admirable? Is this excellent? Is this lovely? Is this right? Ask yourself those things. If not, then, Lord, I have in mind something that is not pure. Take them away. Let's bow down our heads. Think of that ambition with you, or hope of becoming, of what you want to become one day. What is it that you want to become one day? What is it that you have been hoping to attain in your life, in your lifetime? What is it? This morning, ask the Lord for increase of faith, godly wisdom, and empowerment. And ask the Lord also to remind you to keep praying, asking Him for increase of wisdom, godly wisdom, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit for your life, so that until you realize that dream, that ambition you want to attain,